Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Keystone Sports Network at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Jim Galante here talking Penn State football, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
We're looking for starters here at Penn State's 2020 recruiting class, how it's shaped up so far, and the possibilities here that seem to be endless that could lead to Penn State's best class yet under James Franklin. Maybe it's premature, maybe not, but if you look at the talent in the Mid-Atlantic region and where Penn State stands with some of that talent, you start to get the idea that maybe this could be a very special class. So we'll break things down as they stand right now, who the targets are, who the commits are. I think it's a good time to circle back and look at the class as a whole so far. We'll continue our spring storyline series, which we started a little earlier this week. We're going to stick with defense, looking at linebackers in the spring, what we should be looking for as practice begins in March, leading up to the blue-white game in April. We will do Ask Greg, which happens to be Ask Dustin this week, so I apologize. Anybody who asks questions expecting to get Greg's expert opinion is getting mine instead.
They're getting your expert opinion.
You couldn't see him, but he was doing air quotes for the expert opinion.
And makes for good radio.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And we'll round things out. Penn State wrestling, another dominant season. No surprise there. They got one match to go. Brandon Pelter is going to join us to talk about sweeping Illinois and Michigan State this past weekend and how Penn State did it. So let's start with the 2020 class here, Jim. I know it's fresh into the cycle. If you view National Signing Day in February as really the end of one cycle, the beginning of another, then you start to put the pieces together. But that February where you had Junior Day and you started to get some real progress going in this class. So to the point now where a couple new commits and now they stand at four commitments in all. They went from two to four just in one weekend there. So, and the class sits at number 17 nationally, average player rating right on line with some of the, you know, the 18 and the 19 successes. So the early evidence suggests that they're going in a good direction.
Yes. Now, not to do the glass half empty, there are teams, elite teams, that are with 8, 9,
sure,
10 commits already. Again, it's not time to worry, but just to understand where recruiting in general has gone. It is not too early. They're not ahead of schedule with the four. I'd say they're right on schedule.
They started getting on schedule. And it's interesting with the new timeline, how we saw that play out in 2019. Penn State has built its recruiting classes in a variety of ways. They've had, you know, back to, I think it was the 15 class, where they got that rush of commitments in February. And suddenly you're saying, oh my God, this could be the best class ever. Like, we just got, they got, I think, like 8 commitments in the month of February, but that hasn't really been the norm. And especially now that kids can start taking earlier visits, there's not really as much incentive to finalize things in the winter as opposed to waiting until you do a little bit more diligence. You can still wrap things up. You can still take your visits before your senior season starts. So I think that's where things are going, that not all these guys, especially elite guys. So you hear James Franklin talk on, I think it was the early signing period, about the way that they tend to take care of business and not have a lot of drama left on those signing days. But the reality is, the higher the profile kids that you're going after on a more consistent basis, the longer you're going to have to wait sometimes.
Right. I think the general rule on recruiting is there are very few general rules. The one year you mentioned, they got everything, or they got a lot done very early in this February timeframe. I'm not concerned that they don't have 8, 9, 10 commits right now. Not a concern, not nearly a concern. But if there is a rule that you could take away, I do believe it is those 5 stars who, hey, it's a lot of fun to go through this. If you go into it with the right attitude, that why restrict myself? If I'm a player, an elite player who could go anywhere I want, why don't I find out what anywhere I want is like? And you hear so many great stories, for example, about Clemson, and all of a sudden, you know, Julian Fleming, who is one of the top names, a wide receiver from here in Pennsylvania. We've been hearing about him for years. He's from my neck of the woods, Southern Columbia, a great football program, but they've never had a player like this. And when you start hearing about Clemson's private jet and Dabo coming up to speak to him, if you're a Penn State fan, you're at least a little nervous about that.
And so let me just put myself in Julian Fleming's shoes. If you're a five-star kid, you know, there is I would take every one of my official visits. And within reason, you know, different families have different means to do unofficial visits and fly across the country and do all the camps. I mean, that's an expensive part of the process. I would tell you, I would show up at as many games as I possibly could, official or unofficial visits. And I would be treated like royalty by the program. I would be revered by the fans. I mean, and some people will point to this as like the downfall of athletics as a whole, is that recruiting is so big that these kids who haven't really accomplished anything have big egos and stuff. And there might be some truth to that, but I would soak up every perk possible.
Well, at what point could they start taking official visits?
It's the mid to late spring, I think, now. Okay. Greg's the guy to ask about that. He's the timetable guy. But
my point in asking that question is, if I'm a five-star recruit from Catawissa, I'm going to use those five officials to go someplace nice when the weather is the worst.
Yeah, well, that could be true, too.
If it were possible, you know, that Hawaii program looks to be up and coming. I might need to take an official visit there in November.
Yeah.
So, but your point, why not enjoy the process?
But if let's say Alabama is one of the schools that I'm considering, I would go down to see Alabama, LSU, or something at home. I would go to all the hotspots that mesh with what I'm looking for in a school, and I would see all of them. So the point of it being, if you're one of the handful that has just unlimited leverage, like there aren't that many players who, if you fool around, your spot's not going to be gone.
Right.
So generally, I think you could say the five stars have that ability. Schools will just wait and wait and wait on you because you kind of have to. I would just, without disrespecting the schools involved, I would soak up the process and I would take my time with it too. And so that's what we're talking about here when we're saying some of these guys are waiting longer.
And the good thing here in Penn State's traditional recruiting area, we were talking about Julian Fleming, but he's not the only five-star 2020 recruit from Penn State's traditional recruiting area. And what I'm talking about is Maryland, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. There's several of them.
Yeah. You know, Brian Bressy is obviously another big one. And Penn State, you know, as much as you can, I can't remember. I think his last list of schools was a top 10 or a top 12 or something like that. So there's a long way to go with him. There's a long way to go with Julian Fleming. Mikhail Sherman, who's a linebacker from Washington, D.C., another five-star that Penn State's in on him, a linebacker, Antoine Sampa, is Chris Tyree's an all-purpose back who's got a five-star from 24/7 Sports. There are multiple players in Penn State's region that have five-star abilities that Penn State is genuinely and sincerely in the mix for them. We don't know that much just yet because their recruitment hasn't taken shape, but that five-star potential is one of the reasons you're circling this class is maybe at one of Penn State's best, because you can assume that they're going to do what they do and they're going to get a lot of good players. They're going to now be in Florida where they've already got one prospect in the 2020 class, Derek Wingo. They're going to build their class and they're going to build it well, but the difference between having a top 12 class and having a top 3 class is your ability to get five stars, if those rankings are important to you. But really, you know, you're looking to build depth, but if you're looking for impact players, to this day, five stars are the ones who are most likely to get there. You can say five stars have this negative attitude, and give me a three-star who works hard. We talk about that a lot, but five-star players are five stars for a reason. They don't all work out, but generally that's where the NFL players are coming from.
If you want me to take my chances, I'll take my chance with a group of five stars. And what's interesting, you mentioned a couple of Sampa and Sherman who are five-star linebackers, and Penn State already has two four-star recruits. Wingo, you mentioned, and Jacobs is the other one. By the way, one from Maryland, that traditional recruiting area. Wingo from Florida, the new recruiting area that Penn State is making inroads. And linebacker U.
Yeah.
It sure sounds like we're getting there, doesn't it? And the difference, we were talking earlier about the difference makers at, say, defensive tackle, and we were talking about elite players, and that's become the word now, elite. And it's the five stars. Those are the guys we're talking about who will take you from a top 20, a top 15 team into that crazy area where the Clemsons and Alabamas are. It's by getting these five-star difference makers. And this every year, Florida and Alabama are in that southeastern United States where there's so many of these type of players. 2020 offers that opportunity to Penn State where they are, and I am using the air quotes now, they are kind of the home team for those players. So it'll be interesting. And my question, does having Locksley there at Maryland change the equation at all? We saw that late with Noah Cain. Yeah. Are we looking at that being an issue with these five-star guys coming out of that area?
Potentially. So that happens with Nick Cross, the safety who was committed to Florida State.
Did I say Noah
Cain? You said Cain, but I meant Cross. Yeah. Locksley is a dynamic individual who relates to kids, who is a proven recruiter, who's got that kind of new coach, new environment vibe going for him, that new coach smell, which I think has an impact. I think that can have an impact early on in the cycle. And then ultimately, it's something that Penn State has to contend with. But because they're so well positioned to not okay, so if he locks down Maryland, it's not really going to make a dent on Penn State's recruiting. In this case, you know, to not get Brian Bressa because he goes to Maryland, that would be a direct harm to Penn State. But Penn State can be so mobile with its recruiting. The Mid-Atlantic, down in Florida, they've gone a little more national as they go. They're not that tied down into one area. I just wanted to speak to the linebacker point. You know, these two classes, 18, 19, and now 20 with two linebackers involved, they would take a five-star. If one of those guys, if Sherman wants to come to Penn State, they would take a third linebacker in this class because you have to. But
they'd take both of them. And if they end up with four linebackers, so be it.
But Penn State's linebacker recruiting has been off the charts, and you're starting to, I think you're going to see that produce big time in 2019. And then you're going to start to see those three spots, those six guys that you have there are going to be elite. And I think linebacker U is not only back, I think they're going to take it to a whole different level starting 2019 and beyond. We're continuing our spring storyline series looking at linebackers right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.